Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. You hanging in there?
I am hanging in here in the Cascade foothills of Washington State. Welcome to episode 252 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 3rd, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber. And remember, guys, The Absorber Towel people are offering us 10% off your first order at their website, dogloverstowel.com. And I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is the Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from dogloverstowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. The ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dog Lover's Towel, the Absorber Towel, you go to dogloverstowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. Barbara.
Yes.
This is so exciting. I'm so excited to tell you that our Cherry Brook affiliate link is active.
All right now.
The thing that I don't know if Cherry Brook intended, and I guess we'll just see.
We'll find out.
If all of our affiliate people that are shopping through our link are clicking on the wholesale part of their website, are they still going to want to give us a nice fat commission off of that product? But we'll see.
Well, we'll find out. They don't know that we're just mostly groomers?
I think they must. Someone had to review the link to okay it. So someone looked at it, and they have to know at this point, 5 years in, I don't think there are many people who know about podcasts that are creating affiliate links that haven't heard of us in that industry. So I think we should be okay. But it did occur to me that the retail prices are considerably more expensive than the wholesale prices.
So yeah, so it's considerably less of a bite for them. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
We will. The other thing, I totally shot us in the foot because I had found a really great affiliate. I mean, one that I was so excited about and I knew everybody could shop at. It was Etsy.
Uh-huh. I love Etsy.
Love stuff on Etsy.
I do.
But when I filled out the application, because I was just thrilled, I thought it's perfect. It's like 80% women owned. It's individuals putting their stuff out there. It's creatives. I love it. And then it turns out that they don't want you if you've got a Facebook presence for some reason. And I listed our Facebook presence because I always thought it was an asset. And then they instantly turned us down. So I blew that one. But I still got Tractor Supply on the hook, possibly the dollar store as well. It turns out for the dollar store, you can order online through the link and they will let you then pick it up at the store.
Oh, that's interesting because I miss going to the dollar store. I was late getting on the dollar store bandwagon, but now I'm hooked. I want to go to the dollar store and get some plastic sort of shoebox size things to organize some stuff and put some stuff, having to do with my stuff. Oh, my, I got a lot of stuff, and so anyway, the good news is that the absorbers that I took home to help me deal with my leaks on the floor, which really helped, It is so much easier to pick up an absorber. Well, especially in the bathroom where the toilet and the bathtub are kind of right next to each other, just a little partition there. I could just like pick up the absorber and slap it in the tub and wring it out and put it down, and I was taking care of my leak. Whereas the towel thing, you've just got all these wet dripping towels that you then have to put in a bucket or something and carry out to the washing machine. So the absorber was a good thing, and it was also, I also was using it in the kitchen for my leaks, but both of those leaks have been, of course, I don't have a flushable toilet, but we're going to have a flushable toilet by the, you know, I can only use the handy guy so many hours per week, and then I'm broke.
Yes.
I found a great helper. He's a customer that I didn't think he was going to be as nice a guy. He's just done it all. You know, he said he's built homes. So he just knows everything. He knows electricity. He knows plumbing.
That's handy.
That's handy. That's, you know,
he's... I'm married to one of those.
He's going to be all that the last guy wanted to be, but this guy really is. I mean, and he told me that he didn't put the wax ring on the bottom of the toilet, and that's why I now have the leaking toilet.
The leak?
And yep. On and on and on.
I'm a wax ring on the toilet expert. I've done that several times myself.
Well, I know I could call you, but I would have to pay for your travel.
It's a long commute.
Might make it a little pricey. But I am wondering how I can get my canine too to you.
Yeah, you should ship that up here.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I'll just go to the UPS store and have them pack it. Does that make sense? Because they've got the packaging, and I'm never going to be able to find a box that it fits in.
Yeah, just go get a box and send it up here, and we'll make you a deal.
I want to do that because I actually am using my canine too again, even though it's just kind of like 1 1/4 motors.
Yeah, we'll get that fixed up.
Okay. Well.
So we got a donation.
Yeah.
Actually, a new puppy on Patreon, Jackie Basker. Thank you, Jackie, for joining up on Patreon. You guys, that's a great way to support us when you get back to work, or even just like $1 a month. That really helps. Barbara likes to have at least a couple bucks a month, but I'll just take $1. I'll take whatever you want to give us at this time of year. No problem.
If it's $1 is $1 more than nothing.
That's right.
Those singles add up.
They do. So have you had any word locally in your government about when you're going to get to start working?
I think it's soon. They're softening. They're softening. And, you know, the other big manufacturing thing that's happening that I'm just tracking is the hand sanitizer. And I told you guys that I cracked up at Fry's. Here I am. I go to pick up a prescription and I'm all masked and gloved, and I have to ride the little electric shopping cart because I'd have got no good legs. And my legs are good for like 3 minutes of standing up and walking in the store, about 2 minutes of standing in line. So I have to have the electric shopping cart. And there I am, you know, this little lady. I got my wig on. I got my mask on. You know, I'm looking cool. And I spot this whole end shelf of hand sanitizer. Live Clean hand sanitizer contains aloe, plant-derived alcohol. And I just cracked up. Susie, I promised to do a deep dive into the plant-derived alcohol, and I haven't had the opportunity because of my internet problems, but I'm going to bet a booby. You can pick right or left. They're not quite the same anymore.
But they're pretty unused, actually.
Yeah,
the last
they're pretty unused. And they're free spirits because I no longer wear a bra, I just wear an extra undershirt. I'll bet a booby that we've been using plant-derived alcohol and hand sanitizers and cosmetics and personal care all along. But it's just now that they're getting competitive, you see. And this is a large bottle. This is a 16-ounce. You know, it's
nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
A score.
That's a score. And it wasn't $20 or anything, you know, it was like six something maybe. But plant-derived alcohol, I just, you know, like, alcohol has been so vilified, you know, yeah. that it's drying and it's chemical and it's not natural and everything. But now we have waved the natural flag, plant-derived alcohol.
I'm still desperately looking for some isopropyl alcohol for my spray bottle as it's getting a little bit low. I spray everything. I'm spraying the money down. I spray the leashes down. I spray the carriers for the cats down. I've been hitting everything with the alcohol spray. Normally it's just my tools, but right now it's
everything. Yeah, I know. Yep. It's handy to sanitize grooming loops and everything around you. And door handles and everything do well. It's hard to sanitize those, but it's easy to spray alcohol on them. That's what I use it for. I use it for my door handles. I use it for crate handles, crate latches.
Yeah, and you can just let it sit there. Just spray it on there and let it evaporate. And especially collars and leashes, if they come in on the dog. I get the dogs with gloves on, but I still want to spray down that leash and collar. So I do it with the big bottle of alcohol spray and just whack it. And then it sits there during the whole groom. And that's at least that's my plan anyway. We'll see how it works. That's what I was doing before I quit.
Yeah, so you see, there's been just like a renewed multiple markets for alcohol. Isn't that interesting? After going so far trying to cut it out of everything, all of a sudden it's a valued substance because of its disinfectant ability. All of a sudden, what have I been talking about for years using at my grooming table? Alcohol spray. I've been spraying it at my grooming table, on my grooming table, on my equipment for years, and add a little essential oils, drops of your choice, and it smells nice and yee-haw. See, I find marketing fascinating. That's why I laugh so loud at plant-derived alcohol. It was that suddenly we're waving the flag to call alcohol a natural substance. Well, it's been derived from anything that has sugar in it. You know, corn is a major source of plant-derived alcohol, but sugar beets and cane sugar, lots of sugar stuff. Anything that's got sugar in it will get you alcohol, but it has to be synthesized from the plant, by the way.
Well, that's what the still is for.
Yeah.
The still in the backyard.
Plant-derived alcohol sounds like you can pick it. Doesn't it kind of sound like you could pick it from the earth? Well,
yeah, sure does.
Guess what? Not. But this is a good product. I'm using it, and it smells good, and it's. I'm using it right now as we speak. So if you ask me, what are you doing with your hands, Barbara? I will say, I'm using my plant-derived alcohol hand sanitizer.
As long as you don't mess with your microphone, you can do whatever you want with your hands.
Hands off the microphone, Barbara. Do not touch the microphone.
Well, you know, we've got an interesting phenomena happening here in Washington State because they are not opening up grooming until probably the 24th of May. So the people, though, are being inundated with media that says other states are opening grooming, and that my phone is ringing off the freaking hook with people who are trying to sneak in. It's not my people, because they pretty much all have their appointments already pre-booked. It's people from other groomers who have somehow come across my number, and they're fickle, they're jumpers, and they're just trying to get their dogs
done.
Well,
they're not. It's not. No, now, look, they're not fickle. They're desperate. You know, dogs need grooming. I'm sorry, dogs need grooming. And I'm getting the same thing. I'm getting calls and texts and emails from people that I've never heard of before who can't get into their regular groomer, who love their regular groomer, but their dogs are matting and dirty. We have this terrible problem in Tucson called asphalt.
You've told us about that. It wicks up the dog's
fur. It just walks up the legs, and they're black, absolutely black, and sometimes even with three or four baths of the best deep cleaning stuff, you can't get rid of the stain. That's filthy. You don't want that in your home. And what happens to the dog? They get thrown out in the backyard because they're dirty. They've never stayed out there longer than a half an hour, you know?
We're already invading their space. I think most of the dogs are pretty happy. It's the cats that are so annoyed that we've all been home for so long.
Cats say, get the fuck out of here. Give me some time.
I think that's about where my husband is at, since he's normally got the whole house to himself, and I've been nothing but in his face for like since the middle of February.
You know, I have the deep conversation pit in my living room, and I've got a futon in there in the living room right above the conversation pit. I have a window AC. It's the best cooling in my whole house. And I have a futon up there that from time to time, which means all the time, I have it out flat and I sleep there. I put a foam topper on it and we just hang out there. And I'm hanging out on the futon, watching the TV and eating my whatevers. And the cat comes in, and you know when cats catch something, they make the strangest noises.
Yep.
You know, you think they're sick or something. The cat comes in, immediately jumps in the pit, and lets loose of this large lizard.
Oh, my. That's not going to stay in the pit.
Well, no, it can't get out of the pit. Those animals can't get out. No, because it's like 3 feet straight up. They can't get out of there. It's slippery tile.
It's not one of those lizards that can climb up a wall.
No. And usually they're kind of damaged and disoriented. It's like a bullfight ring.
Okay. That it's I remember.
It's the little Colosseum, you know. It's
yes.
And they're exactly the lions, you know, and they just like drop the little poor thing in there. And, you know, like, so what do I do? I can't watch that, but I want to watch my TV. So I had to go into another room until the, you know, the whole thing was over.
That sounded like a horrible experience, having something being killed in the bullfight ring. That is not cool.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't a baby rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, or a squirrel or something larger. I mean, which has happened. I just find the decapitated parts in there. That's when I call Yvonne. Yvonne is the one that comes and gets the body parts. Because I can't do that. I just move.
Right? Just go somewhere else.
I just move somewhere else. I come down here. I go in the studio. You know, and I love that cat. That's the best cat. That's the cat that tucks me into bed every night after she kills someone.
Right. God. Ew. Okay, let's get back to grooming. Actually, I've got an idea. Let's take a break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about dematting dilemmas.
All right. Dematting. I love that topic.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Barbara, I want to chat about dematting because I have a sneaking suspicion that when I hit the road again, full force, that I am going to come across a lot of matting. But I don't know that what I want to do is shave it down. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think shaving down is necessarily the best option. And you can tell me what you think about my thoughts. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, so I think that most of the dematting I'm going to run across, because all of my scheduling is pretty much regular 4, 5, 6 week appointments. So since everybody's on a pre-booked schedule and I keep everyone fairly short, like the yellow wall stainless steel comb with the clipper vac short, most of right. them, I think that what I'm going to find is matted tails and matted ears. And there might be some other body matting where harnesses were left on or things like that. But for the most part, I think I'm not going to find completely matted dogs, but only partially matted dogs. And it's true that my instinct would be to just shave everything down, whack it off, and start anew. But if you do that, especially with your favorite clients, the clients that are your bread and butter clients, you're going to stretch out their need for a haircut way farther than you really want to do. I mean, it could be 3 months before you take them down on the 7-blade before they ever need to come back into your shop. So if we think about that, and knowing that not only is it going to kind of shoot yourself in the foot, but that the client isn't going to be really overly happy about having to have their dog skinned off either. Not skinned off. What do you call it? A nudie? A smoothie? What's your term? I love your term.
Yeah, I usually call it a smoothie. A smoothie. A nudie. That's is it. Interesting.
Yeah.
A marine cut. Well, sometimes they ask for it. Sometimes they know it's a mess. And I think, get finished and I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that if we can choose not to shave down our best clients, the clients that will appreciate having their dog have some hair left on it, that then we're not only going to facilitate them coming back for a groom sooner or on their regular schedule without skipping one because the dog has no hair, but they're going to be much happier with you. So how do we decide whether to save coat or not, Barbara?
A very important factor is the tolerance of the dog for dematting. There are dogs that take it like a champ. You know, you can do a little tugging. Of course, we hope that you have developed dematting techniques that are not painful to the dog. Little things like holding the matted area at the skin so that you're not pulling the hair from the skin, and and actually sectioning your matted area into smaller portions so that it's not as uncomfortable for the dog. If you've got a good techniques and the dog has adequate tolerance, then you can go for the dematting. The dog is old and has poor tolerance. I mean, dogs tend to lose tolerance for grooming, period, as they age. Especially 10 years and older. So those dogs, I probably would, you can make a choice and you can engage the clients in this choice of whether you want to shave everything or whether you just want to cut out some mats.
Cutting out some mats, that's a great alternative.
And you know what is good? A good tool for cutting out mats is the chunker. You might not think of it, but boy, I'm telling you, it goes in there. You can even take your chunker and just chunk into a mat, and it will loosen it up a lot. And of course, your products are very important. But I've gone in and delicately removed with a chunker, just chunked out a matted area, and it kind of blends in with the other coat, and it doesn't show that much. Customers put up with veterinarians cutting huge patches of hair off the dog. It shouldn't be that much of a deal if you cut off a patch like on the back of the back leg.
And always approaching things with a little sense of humor. I will oftentimes, mention that I don't want to turn your pet into a chemotherapy patient, but if I leave a few holes, we can save the whole rest of the dog's coat. So I'll explain that. But I also think, especially if it's tails and ears mostly, and little spots behind ears and underneath here, that we can just make a new Corona style. You know, maybe shave the ears and a shaved tail and then still have a poofy body and let the rest grow back in. Or make, you know, just make light of it a little bit. Like, give it a cute name.
Yeah. I am really reluctant to shave tails. And part of that reason is that tails seem to grow at a much slower rate than other areas of the hair.
I also find that they are generally irritated if you brush those pelted tails out too much. So I'll take the top of the dog's tail or the underneath of the dog's tail, depending on where the most matting is, and then I'll slice through it with a scissor or a letter opener, splitter dealy, so that I at least divide that area in half, and then coat it with something, especially if I can do it before the bath, if I know there's an issue back there. I'll take something like the Equus gel or one of the gel products for detangling, and I'll work through pulling it apart and get in there with that detangling gel so that after I put them in the bath, I can get that gel back out, because I really don't like the feeling of the gel.
Lately, I've been using Best Shot finishing sprays, especially the Ultramax finishing spray,
yes,
as kind of a post-conditioner conditioner.
I use that.
I mean, I have been using those Best Shot products and my Force Air dryer to great success. And I find that I don't need to do as much brushing and tugging on the mats if I loosen them up with a product and some forced air through there. You just got to know in advance what you can accomplish and what you can't. I've learned that I can accomplish a lot more than I ever used to think I could.
The products help. There was a discussion on one of the grooming Facebook pages about what if you only had to choose three products? You could only have three shampoos, not conditioners, but just three shampoos. And I thought, okay, what would my three shampoos be? And I realized two out of three Best Shot products would be absolutely Ultramax, and Best Shot One would be two products that I would choose out of my three. And that third one might just be a Best Shot Sentiment product, because I'd want something like that, or maybe a whitening shampoo, like a Show Season whitening shampoo or something like that. But I thought it was interesting because those silicone-based products help so much with de-shedding and detangling.
Yeah, you know, you will never turn me against silicones. I just don't understand the no silicones movement. I just don't understand it. It's like, why throw away your best freaking tool? You know, like, why throw away your best tool? Would you throw away your best all-purpose wrench and screwdriver thing? Yeah, no.
Definitely not.
You would treasure it and use it. But why throw away your best grooming tool? Silicones are a tool, and that's how they need to be looked at.
If you decide to save the coat on your best clients, let them know that you're going to save the coat. Don't just do it and then expect them to notice it and be happy about it. Make a big deal over the fact that you normally would just take all this hair off, but this time, because it's obviously not your fault.
Because I want a tip.
I'm not going to do a bunch of charging for dematting. You know, normally I would charge extra for dematting. I'm not going to do that this time, as long as I see that I'm going to get rewarded for my efforts. But if you are spending a bunch of time dematting, be sure to charge for your time. You know, maybe not all the way, but at least somewhat, because you don't want them to get, like, accustomed to it.
That's right. Actually, I do kind of work dematting into my normal activities because, you know, before I was a groomer, I was a Laza Opso show person. You know, my mother was a breeder and we groomed Laza Opsos, and you just get used to that. Mats and dematting are just like a part of life with that breed. I just think a certain amount of corrective work with the coat is part of the job, and charge more than the average groomer.
We'll just let that go by. Okay. That'll be easier to cut out that way.
Yeah.
Make sure you book yourself extra time, because I think that you're going to be inclined to take more dogs. And if you've got to demat every one of them a little bit, you're going to need to be aware of that.
I think that's very important consideration, because that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to be short of money, short of resources, and you're going to want to just like do as much grooming as you can in a hurry to make up. But if you're going to do catch up appropriately, you just need to allow enough time to do a little bit of corrective work on some of these dogs that have gone too long.
And make sure you keep in mind what I said at the very beginning. If you take all the dog's hair off, they're not going to need grooming very quickly. So pick and choose who you save the hair on, because some people, some clients just don't care. Then you know those clients.
Right.
You just know them.
That's right.
And so don't spend your time doing that.
That has to do with scissoring and styling and everything you do. Don't break your neck for somebody that doesn't give a damn, that can't see difference with a nicely groomed dog and not. Anyway, give your skills and time, especially your time, to the customers who tip you, who appreciate you, who come to you because you leave more hair on the dog.
Yes. It's important to know your people. Now, if you're working in a shop and you're not getting that personal contact with the people, you don't have this option. And gosh, I feel for you guys, because I don't know how the opening is going to take place. I mean, it's going to be weird. Like for me, since everybody, the majority of my people are monthly. I mean, everybody's monthly. There's a few that are 6 weeks. I've got a handful that are 3 weeks. So that's the majority. They're on a rotating schedule. So if you miss this month appointment, you've already got one for next month, and that's the one we're going to keep. Well, I'm not going to try to rearrange the puzzle, because that gets very confusing. I've got about 10 or 15 clients now that have been canceled and are not on a repeating schedule. Even though I pre-book every appointment, nobody has to call me for an appointment. Everybody gets pre-booked. Those are the people I'm going to start with on the very first day the cancellation started. I'm going to go back to my schedule, and I'm not doing this until we absolutely open up for sure, because everything's still kind of fly by night over here on the West Coast. But I'll take the first people that miss their appointments, and I will call them first, and I will put them in first. Not the people that call me first, because there's going to be people calling like crazy. But I'm going to honor the people that have waited the longest and put them in first in a rotation. And eventually you'll get everybody in. And you know what? You can do this. We can all do this. Well, let's take a break and move on to our definition du jour. And before we do that, I completely and totally forgot to thank someone who gave us a donation. And that person is originally from Ireland, and I don't know whether I'm going to butcher her first name or not, so I'm going to give it a go. Leonie Collins. Thank you very much for your $25 donation. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Leonie.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait! If you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
It's time for the definition du jour. Tell me a little bit more about formaldehyde. We talked about it somewhat, but I'd like to get some clarification.
Yeah, we were talking in conversation with Michelle about getting rid of formaldehyde as an ingredient in shampoos. Well, people, formaldehyde has never been an ingredient in shampoos. It is not an ingredient in shampoos now, and it never was. But what has happened historically is that tried and true preservatives of the paraben family were vilified on the internet. People were made to fear those preservatives that served us for 50, 70 years. They were safe, they were effective, and they didn't cause allergies. They didn't create allergic reaction response. So a lot of things came along to take their place. Preservative in shampoos has to be fairly aggressive because shampoos are a perfect petri dish for microbes, bad bugs.
Is it because there's so much water in them?
It's because of the water in them. Even if they're made with filtered or deionized water just means that the magnesium and calcium ions have been removed from the water. Calcium and magnesium ions are what causes regular soap to leave a soap film. So regular soap loves those minerals and will marry them for eternity. And so deionized water helps reduce the mischief that can happen in your water-based shampoo. But shampoos are 60 to 85% water. And that's a lot of water, and that's a lot of room for problems to pop up. And problems with preserving can pop up in a manufacturing facility, in storage, too long, too much temperature. Anyway, it has to be a fairly strong and durable substance to preserve a bottle of shampoo for 2 years. And what happened when parabens were just like freaking run out of Dodge, you know? They were run out of Dodge. A lot of misinformation went across the internet. A lot of fearful campaigning as they were bad. They caused cancer and they did this and that and everything. And so formulators were forced to make other choices. And one of the categories of choices that they picked were formaldehyde releasing chemicals. These are chemicals that themselves are not formaldehyde. They're not made of formaldehyde, but in the water situation, they gradually release formaldehyde as they go through an aging process themselves. By the way, formaldehyde is a gas. You know, they're not gassing up all our shampoos, right?
Right.
Impossible right there, right there. Knowing that formaldehyde is a gas will tell you can't possibly. If it was in the shampoo would like fizz, like my Red Bull fizzes when I hit the, you know. I had a big problem the other day. I was running out of energy, and so I pulled a Red Bull out of the refrigerator. Been there for a long time. And, oh, God, I needed help in such a bad way. I was desperate. I'm going to try this Red Bull. Well, I pulled it out, and the tab broke off and didn't open.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Fortunately, I had an empty can from the day before, so I was able to kind of dribble from the... But, you know, sparkling water and all of that, it fizzes and it tickles your nose. Well, that's gas that's been injected into the liquid. Shampoos don't do that.
Right.
But they do release tiny, tiny amounts of formaldehyde, which immediately in solution of water turns into a liquid formalin, which then causes death of the microbes. So it's just always chugging along, a little bit here, a little bit there. And there are several formaldehyde-releasing preservatives. The quaternium 15 is one of them. DMDM hydantoin. Joe Season uses that. Yeah, I don't have it in this copy. You can find lists of formaldehyde-releasing preservatives all over the place. But the truth is, they're not that dangerous. The biggest, baddest thing about formaldehyde-releasing preservatives is that they can trigger an allergic reaction. And so what you need to know about allergic reactions, and we keep forgetting this, is that allergic reactions are created accumulatively. Oh, say that fast, bird. How's those dentures working for you?
They accumulate in your system.
They accumulate in your system. Well, the reaction triggers your immune response, which then accumulates in the body. And so you never have an allergic reaction to the first time somebody is in contact with a substance. It's always on some subsequent contact.
Exposures,
thank you. It can be the second time, it can be the 20th time, it can be the 200th time. So when people say, hi, Barbara, look, I think I need to call and tell you that Daisy had an allergic reaction to your shampoo. Don't say, well, I've been using that same shampoo on her for 4 years. She never had a reaction. Well, it could be that just now she reached her tip-off point.
Yep.
So that's not a good response. That's just the immediate defensive response, which is bad customer relations. You say, oh, no. Oh, thank you for telling me. I'm so sorry to hear that. Let me look at what we've been using on her. You know, and that's when you wish you had ingredients for all of your products that you're using.
Do we have anything to worry about with the formaldehyde releasing products?
No. But if a dog has an allergic reaction, it can very likely, people are meeting people. did you see Jennifer J-Lo singing People?
No.
Oh, my God, she was great.
She's fabulous.
I have ambivalency with this woman, but I didn't know she had that kind of a range.
I have a girl crush on her big time. Are you kidding? You're ambivalent to her?
Oh, she's kind of a snippy diva.
She's earned it at this point.
I was bowled over. And she was excellent. She just, I mean, that's a Barbara Streisand song. Nobody would dare sing that.
True.
And she just freaking nailed it out of the park. I don't want to hear People. And then I looked and saw who it was. I thought, let's see how she does with this song. She did a great job. Anyway, where was I?
Oh, we were just waxing poetic about formaldehyde.
So, you know, like formaldehyde itself is banned in Japan and Sweden, and it's on the Canadian hot list. But you need to know you can have an allergic reaction, but that's probably the worst of it, unless they drank a gallon of shampoo. Formaldehyde is found in nature. It's the part of bad breath. It's given off by Brussels sprouts and apples. And the amount of formaldehyde in any single, you know, diluted mixture of pet shampoos is insignificant. It is not at a range of, it can't cause much problem at all.
With the exception of the allergies.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The last segment of the show is going to be a pep talk, so we'll be back with that in just a moment. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. With everything about to open up in the country, hopefully, and I just figured it was time for a pep talk, because you know the way you win the championship game, it's all about the pep talk and what happens in the locker room. So consider this our locker room, and I am going to give a pep talk here. All right? You don't mind, do you?
No, go for it. I could use some pepping up.
Over the last few months, we have been, as an industry, kind of at each other's throats, which is not normally the way we operate here in the Northwest. I know there are some areas of grooming where the groomers don't like each other, but we generally like each other and support each other. But the quarantine and the no work order has divided people quite a bit. I just want to remind people that we need to be kind to each other, and people make their choices for reasons that you don't know. And the truth of the matter is everybody's got a different opinion about what's going on. We're getting misinformation all over the place. People have strong opinions about it and different needs in their own lives and different work situations. But we're all groomers. The way we conduct our job may change, but the fact is we love what we do. You know, we're going to have to keep our distance. We won't be hugging our clients as much as we did in the past. We're going to wash our hands all the time. We're going to sanitize our doorknobs. We're going to sanitize things we never thought to sanitize before. And even some procedures will change, like people that might have not been on the bandwagon to wash the dogs right off the bat. Maybe let's hope that the dogs are going straight in the bathtub these days, just to be extra safe. But we don't need to take the mob mentality that other people generally do. We don't have to be driven by the mob. We can use our brains. There's still enough pets out there for us to groom, and they'll still need grooming when we go back to work. Some people have lost their businesses over this. One groomer, particularly locally, she had 4 grooming vans that she was trying to pay for. One of them she took delivery very late in February for, and she couldn't turn back on. And she was running on the idea that she would be able to run her business. And when business stopped and she couldn't go out and work, even though she tried, she lost all 4 of those vans, and she lost her business because of this. And people judged her harshly because she was working, but I completely understood that she was trying to save her livelihood, and it's gone now. She couldn't make it. She just couldn't make it. We have to consider her situation independently. You can't just make a judgment because she went to work. Some people have to go to work. Some people have medical bills. Some people maybe didn't pay their taxes and they're not getting any assistance. Who knows what the reason is? We don't know what their personal reasons are. We don't know. But we know that we all love animals, and we know that we're passionate about what we do, and we are going to come out on the other side of this. We need to forgive each other for what happens during this war that we're facing, and realize that our own personal economy is going to come back somehow. The hate and the anger that we're feeling online are not productive. So let's get on with our lives. Let's support each other, even though we have different opinions. Let's not tear people down in this industry. Let's get out there and let's get grooming. Thanks for listening. That was an editorial by Susie the Groomer. All right, Barbara.
Yeah.
Let's close the door on this. I realized I was giving an editorial as I was doing it. I didn't realize I had written an editorial, but I did.
Great. Good job. Good okay. job, too. I was just like fascinated.
Yeah, well, it's been bothering me. I just want us to be unified and to support each other, because we're in it because we love pets, and that's just it.
And everybody is making their own decisions based on their own lives and needs. It's just not helpful to be judgmental of each other. Who can understand a groomer better than another groomer? So use your empathy, use your understanding ability to understand what the next guy, girl, groomer is going through.
Amen, sister.
Amen, sister, yeah.
Okay, well, by the way, I am going to go do the 36-pound cat for the 96-year-old lady. I'm going to do that right now. So that cat is going to get done. The vets didn't do it. I've got the neighbor to go upstairs and get the cat, and we've got a no-contact way to transfer. And so everybody was worried about poor Lori and Ben the cat. It's all good to be taken care of this afternoon, and I'm going to sneak in and out of here and get to groom a cat. So there you go, Barbara. Let's hope for a bright future, and good luck to all you guys who are opening up. Wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, and let's do this again next week on the Groom Pod.
Hand sanitizer. So if you use hand sanitizer, can you touch your face?
Yeah.
That's my question, because, God, it's so hard for me to not touch my face.
Yeah, you're good. As a matter of fact, yeah, every time I get in the car, I do that, and then I go rub my face. Okay.
Okay. So take care. Have a good week.
And let's meet back here.
And we'll see you next week right here.
On the Groom Pod. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Take care of yourselves. We love you.
Be kind.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.